Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? It is the first week of 2026. Yesterday, I celebrated 14 years of owning and operating Mountain View Window and Door, and the juices are flying high, and this is the perfect time to be in studio with my buddy Sydney Alds. And the story is really fun and really cool, to where the main message I don't want to convey to you, Tribe, is that, you know, relationship building is hard, but it's so rewarding. And I want to begin with the end in mind is saying you never know where an Uber ride will take you with a relationships. And then I'm going to challenge myself, and Sydney here's looking me eye to eye in the studio, to say, how do you figure out who are your ride or dies, or what we call the MFers, the master facilitators in the art of construction community? How do they become that? How do we do that? And in the world of construction, where you're only as good as your last project, and if we're open and honest, most of the time our last project, you're just trying to get done with it. And that's just the reality. And how does this going to benefit you is that we're going to have an open conversation of a generation of staying connected through a meaningful conversation in an Uber ride to the airport. And we've both worked together and utilized social media, that is a blessing and a curse every day, to work together to pursue excellence. And, you know, I'm going to let him talk about his version of, like, what his beliefs are. And he is just a kick-ass architect that has been a lifelong learner, that we're going to hear his story, and an entrepreneur. He's like me. He's got stuff going in all different directions with a young family and all the cool stuff, living the American dream. So, Sydney, it's an honor to have you in studio here with me today and share your story. Let's start off with the speed round. What do you say?
Let's do it, Devin. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. What's your favorite beverage?
Devin, I was born and raised in the South. I'm a huge fan of sweet tea. I even have my own little secret recipe that I like to...
Secret. So you start out right off the bat, and they say secret, and then my job is to pull out the secrets. Can you give us a... Like, I'm a guy that grew up in the Midwest in Colorado, and I just say nothing in the sweet because it's too sweet, but I haven't put the boots on the ground in the South like you. So can you give us a little glimpse of what's secret about special sweet tea?
I'll tell you what I like more now is less sugar, more honey. That's what I'll tell you about it.
All right, there you go. So it's mixing those ingredients as a lifelong learner of what is that special concoction to keep the right mentality to pursue excellence that we're going to talk about.
That's right.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Well, Devin, I'm like many people. I think one of my favorite places in the world is Rome, Rome, Italy. Yeah. I just love the architecture when you go back. It's just, to me, what a better, you know, there's not a better city of leaving a legacy of the built world. And we're still studying the practices that they did hundreds of years ago. And so Rome is just fantastic. Though, you know, just to be a little different, if I was going to pick somewhere in the U.S., I'm a huge fan of Colorado. There's a reason we're sitting here in the state of Colorado.
Totally.
I'm a huge fan of the San Juans. I just think I'm a big outdoorsman, and whenever you immerse yourself in the San Juan Mountains, there's not many places more beautiful in the United States than that.
Yeah, the only thing I challenge you is the other side of that is the Sangre de Cristo, where I have the golf course. But with that being said, we're doing our 17th year of our golf weekend, and we're doing it in the San Juans out of Durango this year, and remembering this beautiful place that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. It's funny how all the local people I talk about, it's, you know, 1 out of 10 will bring up Colorado, and then we'll kind of go on this staycation conversation.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
As well as why we live in Colorado, we love the seasons, but we don't have the ocean either, right?
That's right. Well, that's what I was going to say. If you're looking for rest and relaxation, I would suggest the Caribbean. I mean, it's just one of my favorite places just to go down into the Caribbean and soak in the sun.
totally get away. I just did it. I'm back in the office after doing my first sailing trip in the British Virgin Islands with another family, and talk about an ultimate getaway of the lifestyle. So we're totally beating the same drum together. Tell us about your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction.
Yeah, Devin, I spend as much time as I can in the outdoors. I've got a lot of hobbies in the outdoors, probably primarily being hunting and archery. I'm a big runner as well. I've run a few marathons in my life, but and what I want to say about the hobbies is they all, I feel like they all build on the foundation of what I do in my career. And so the running is a day-to-day thing that elevates my activity level. Yeah. It gives me more energy to perform at a higher level. The hunting and the archery teaches me focus and discipline, and that is something I apply to my work as well.
You mean you don't just take a bow and walk in the mountains and shoot an animal? It doesn't just happen?
Takes a lot. And in fact, as an architect, it's amazing what the outdoors has taught me about my work and how much the wilderness influences the way I think about my work and connecting people to nature. So
totally.
The outdoors is where I spend most of my time.
Love it. Well, what is your story that led you to being the principal of Sydney Auld's building studio?
Yeah, so super long journey. I've made a lot of stops along the way, so I want to make this as short as possible. But born and raised in North Louisiana, and I stayed close to home to go to school. I got my bachelor's of architecture in Ruston, Louisiana, at Louisiana Tech University, a school that I'm very thankful for. And then I just wanted more, and I set out to get elsewhere for my master's. I applied to three other schools and ultimately chose CU Denver for my master's of architecture. And the reason is because I wanted to get my hands dirty, and the design build school here had such a wonderful reputation. And fortunately, I was able to work on a project that got international recognition. And so in 2014, I made the move. One thing I do think is important here about my story is my first year I applied to grad school, I didn't get accepted here. And so what I did is I went and spent a full year working at a local firm in Louisiana, and I redid my entire portfolio. And so I went back to the drawing board, and instead of getting upset or instead of settling for something I didn't really want, I took the time to improve myself to get where I wanted to be. And that second year that I applied, I was accepted into the program. And I feel like everything was supposed to work that way. The year that I was there and the project that I got to work on in the mountains in Leadville was just phenomenal, a phenomenal experience. But after that, I discovered, you know, my favorite architect going through grad school that I always went back and looked to was Jonathan Siegel. And I always loved the real estate development aspect of what he was doing. I found out he was a professor at Woodbury University, and it was kind of a movie scene moment in my life. I was at work as an intern here in Denver, and I learned through a podcast that he was on that he was a professor, and it was one of those moments I shut my computer at the office. I closed up everything I was working on. I ran home. I pulled out my portfolio, and I updated. I had 11 days to reproduce an application to Woodbury University. And I got accepted to that program, and it was a real estate development program, Master of Architecture in Real Estate Development. So I spent a full year in San Diego learning and studying under great architects and real estate developers like Jonathan Siegel, Ted Smith, and a few others. I don't want to miss anybody there. But after that, I knew that I always wanted to be in Colorado. So I came back. This is whenever I started a business right out of grad school. We were raising funds for a development here near Mile High Stadium. And I don't know if you remember this, but I feel like I pitched you on the deal. I think I was driving for Uber during the day.
That's right. You did. You had a pitch deck with you. That's right. I remember that.
So I had a pitch deck for this deal. And so I knew that if I went out and I earned my base income that I needed to pay rent and survive via Uber, I would meet people. I would learn the city. And I was hoping that anybody that would give me the time of day, that I would make a relationship like ours, Devin. And so that was why I chose to be an Uber driver, is so that I could meet people, see the city, and learn a lot of things. And
that's cool.
That deal fell through. Some of the biggest lessons I learned came from that failed project. My business partner was a longtime friend in that venture, and he walked away from the business and went back. I was texting him this morning. We're still friends. And so I think a core message throughout the art of construction is relationships. You know, our friendship came before our business. It didn't work out while we were here together, working together, but we both parted ways, and we're still friends, like really close friends. He was in my wedding last year. So
nice.
Really good friend. And so as I was building the business, I came across a real estate developer here who really took me under his wing and started teaching me a lot. And he spent a lot of time with me, and I saw him as a true mentor. And he bought a bunch of property in Birmingham, Alabama. And he came to me and he said, "Hey, can you design some of these projects for me? I've got these five properties that I'm fixing to develop." Well, I wasn't licensed at the time, so I was doing all of the upfront schematic work. We rezoned properties, and so I was helping him with the front end development work on that. And he started taking me to Birmingham, and we were interviewing architects and contractors to bring on to the team to deliver all the work. And so the company I ended up working for, we met and hired for his first project, and they reached out to me, and I was still working for myself. And I just said, not really interested. But after a few conversations, I realized that the opportunity was something I needed to take. So I packed up and I moved to Birmingham. And that company was a full architecture construction. We actually were a design, manufacture, construct. We had our own in-house MEP trades. We had our own fabrication team. We were the architect, the general contractor. And I actually got to work on the company's first development that the partners own there. So really got my feet I got immersed in the entire field of development, architecture, and construction while I was there in Birmingham, and just made a wonderful network there. And then things didn't work out after a couple years in Birmingham. I actually took a full-time job as the director of development for the same developer that got me to Birmingham. So I was really wanting to be in the mountains again. I really love Colorado. And he brought me back as full-time director of development. So I spent 2.5 years as the director of development at a small family real estate and development company here in Denver. And that was Residential Ventures, and had a wonderful time, learned a ton there. And what we realized over the last few years is the challenges, right? I was very expensive overhead, and the company was looking at 30% inflation costs and rising interest rates, and all of the projects that we had in the pipeline just started to dry up and they started getting shelved. And I'm still friends with them today. I went and had lunch with them back in November, and so we're still friends. We still talk, and so that was a mutual parting of ways there. And I just said, I've spent a lot of time, accumulating knowledge, accumulating experience, and this is the time where I'm going to apply that knowledge, and I'm going to start my own company. And I'm not looking back. And this is it. And so I set out and I relaunched my own company, Sydney All's Building Studio, and our tagline is design, build, develop. I have my Class C general contractor's license as well, so I'm licensed in 3 states as an architect currently. I'm working on the paperwork for the fourth now. I'm trying to get more into the construction world as well, and also working closely with developers. So that's where we're at now. We are. We just welcomed our first child. My wife and I, we got married about 15 months ago. Our first little baby girl is here. She's 3 months almost now, and just living the dream of entrepreneur. Super busy with the family, and man, the season we're in right now is just wonderful. I'm excited to have the opportunities to build the company and build the family.
Good on you, man. I love listening to that story as a true lifelong learner and putting all this stuff together. That it's easier said than done, right? And learning by doing is really the big thing why I was excited to have you on the podcast. Talk to us a little bit more about your firm. And we always talk about the riches and the niches in the podcast for people listening to this of like, tell us about your building studio based on that great lead-in of all of the work that you've done with others, and kind of talk a little bit about the journey of starting up your own business after working with others.
Yeah, so what I find to be one of the most rewarding parts of being an architect, and what drew me to architecture, was creating a legacy, creating things that would outlast me. That's what drew me to architecture. And as I've gotten into the business, what I really enjoy now is architects are traditionally the leaders of projects, and so we are responsible for assembling the team and leading the team in the right direction. And so I take a lot of pride in leading well, and so it's a big focus of mine is leadership. And so I think actually I've taken over a couple of projects recently where there was just a lack of leadership from the top, and I think it's been rewarding to see how well people have responded to that. But ultimately, what I'm after through my business is creating value for people. That's value for private developers, private for business owners, value for private landowners. So I work with a lot of people that are considering, do I add this to my house or do I add that? Well, how can we add the most value is what I want to know. Well, we can make decisions based on price, or we can make decisions based on long-term value, appreciation for your property. And so what I'm really interested in is creating a business that excels at bringing people together and leaving a legacy for people. We are also, as architects, as builders, and as developers in our field, we are responsible for creating society, Devin. And I think that that's a big responsibility, and something that I don't take lightly is how we impact the lives of people, whether it's their personal residence, whether it's a city. Like, I always talk to people like, just because you have a piece of property in a downtown environment doesn't mean that you're just that parcel. And so I'm always, you know, it's like a puzzle piece. A puzzle piece has, it's got like an in leg and it's got an out leg, right? And so it's got to fit with the other pieces. And so how does our architecture fit in to the surrounding community as not just a standalone building, but how do we reach out into the community and affect the community? How do we allow people to impact our property? And so that's a big focus too on projects. But that's the story of how we got started.
I love that. So now let's get into the part that I am personally so excited for this conversation, because you and I are both big on setting goals and not giving in, right? And so we've been figuring out, my mentor, I've talked about it throughout all the years on the podcast of what we talk about, how to live a full life perspective. And it's our tool that we call the time relationship chart that comes out of that, of like, how do we best spend our time and how do we properly set the goals? And that's why I wanted to have you kind of as our podcast to kick off 2026, because those times when you're thinking, you know, a majority of my colleagues I talk to, you know, 2025 didn't quite end as good as they wanted to. There's a lot of uncertainty going into 2026, and people want to go back to the craziest inflation of 2023, of just had to get all this stuff done and interest rates and all that stuff. And now we're trying to figure out what is the new norm. But you and I have now been touching base for a generation back and forth. And my call to action for this is, we'll put it in the show notes of, you know, how do you pursue excellence, and how do you, have you built a system around that? That we have a lot of great ideas that get in touch with us after this podcast if you want to get involved on how to better set your goals through the different for your business, but then getting into we land of how do we fit our piece of the puzzle into the overall structure. Mm-hmm. What does pursuing excellence mean to you? And talk to us about the system you've built around that.
Yeah. So pursuing excellence started out as a journey for myself. And I was always a big user of planners and journals, and I always had a job whenever I was in school. So I always had school, job, friendships, relationships. I was in a fraternity. So I was the president of the architecture student organization on campus as an undergrad. So I had a lot going on. And so I had to thread the needle with my time all the time. And in order to stay rested and live a balanced life, I absolutely was forced to have a system in place. And after using probably 6 or 7 different high-profile planners, I always felt like there were sections of planners that worked well, but I always felt like they were missing something. And it was more of the accountability side, the review side of the planner. You know, all of them have goals and all of them have a timekeeper. But
you mean it doesn't mean as much if you don't actually achieve the goals?
That's correct. That is right. That is right. And so, you know, I set out to create my own system, and it started out as a simple Excel sheet that I would print out on 11 by 17. And one year my mother came to me and she said, "Hey, do you mind sharing your planner with me?" And I showed up to Christmas a few months later and she had printed just some really rough copies of it. And I said, "Wow, this could really be a product." And so that was the evolution of pursuing excellence. And, you know, my mother's super influential in this becoming from just a tool that I printed out on a piece of paper and used to becoming a product. So I went to work after that to create a product that I could share with others to help. But pursuing excellence, like we've talked a lot about together, Devin, is pursuing excellence is a lifelong journey, right? The pursuit is something that never ends. And so as soon as you become complacent in life, you're going to start to slip and you're going to start to work backwards or go backwards. And so you're either growing or you're dying, right? The real opportunity, or what, you know, what I really hope to achieve through pursuing excellence is to meet people and impact people from a time perspective, time management, but also goals, like you and I were talking about before the show this morning. To me, what I'm after is helping people achieve more with the time they're given on Earth. And so the time, you know, you were just sharing with me how fast time's gone by in your life, and how your daughters have they're almost out of school, right? And so
great school, but yeah, a lot of school left, but it goes to the moving it forward for sure. As you just had your new baby, and I had another buddy earlier today. I was talking to him, and he just had his baby, and he's like, everyone said you're going to be so tired, and he's like, now I understand what it means to be so tired. But you have to have something to keep you grounded, where you can easily fall off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And in order to be excellent at work and excellent in your relationships and excellent with your family, I truly believe you need a system and some level of accountability for the way you spend your time. And so I guarantee you, if we went to our cell phones, we're all guilty of spending way too much time scrolling social media, watching too much television. And so
there's lots of distractions.
Yeah, there's so many distractions in the world. So how do we separate the distractions and become clear on what we're, you know, pursuing, and what are we after in life that's going to leave a legacy? And so, you know, on the job site, I know in construction, whenever I was at the design build development firm in Birmingham, one of the things we talked about there was picking up and touching in the process of construction. Like, how do we spend time on the job site wisely? How do we deliver drawings in a just-in-time delivery method? And so learning, you know, how to organize the way we spend our time and the activities that we're doing in order to achieve a beautiful, well-assembled product. So that's the way I view my pursuing excellence journey. And from a day-to-day standpoint, you've got to start with the big rock. So one of the questions is, what are my three goals today? What are the three things that I'm going to...
So I want to stop you here to where this is audio only, but in my hand is I have the actual, and I want to kind of walk through this. And the lens that I want to use to walk through this is that around the globe, people are listening to this while they're working out or driving and using social media or whatever to interpret this, right? And so I want to set the stage by saying, I've developed this thing called a time relationship chart through my father-in-law that he spent 40 years as a college professor and passed on all the analog to me. Then I turned this all into this digital thing, and now I truly believe we're in the sophomore slump of, with AI in the digital world, especially in construction, about getting communication into deliverables and holding people accountable and holding yourself accountable. But as you're listening to this, I'm holding a physical piece book in my hand, right? And I stopped doing my physical one, but I'm struggling with that. This weekend of thinking about this podcast, I have this huge marker board in my house that I use as my just thinking, and I write it, and that's kind of become still my holy grail, but I'm not moving it and digitizing it like we're all trying to do in construction. So you have this pursuing excellence planner that says attitude, preparation, and execution, that I want you to kind of give us the 30-second commercial on this, because my personal call to action is what you say, hopefully you do, and I am going to use this. So leaving today, I'm going to start using this as my planner for the year. We didn't plan this. We didn't prep this, but I'm going to lead by example. And anybody that wants to do it with us, that's the call to action to reach out to it. Because, Tribe, here's the thing. You wrote on the front cover of this too, Devin, thanks for building the tribe. The best is yet to come. If you don't hear anything else from this whole podcast, it's you have now bought into the tribe and you care about helping me and I care about helping you. And if nothing else, that's what we have to get off the table here. So now walk me through how this thing works. And of course, we'll put you made a great video and all the stuff we'll put in the show notes, but how do I use this thing?
Yeah, so there's a few different features that I think are super helpful. One being a habit tracker in the planner. Another being three, you know, they're 90-day planners, and so they're undated, but there's three full calendar months that you can fill in your calendar. Obviously, I use technology and Google as well to schedule appointments out in the future, but every day it's super helpful for me to see what's on the schedule that day. And then every morning, like you said, attitude, preparation, and execution. So I believe that we have to start every day with a positive, grateful attitude. And so there's a gratitude exercise at the beginning. Preparation is what am I going to spend my time doing today? What am I going to busy myself with today? And so that is the preparation aspect. What does my calendar look like? And I'm a believer that you have to put the big rocks. Like, what are the three things that I'm going to tackle today that are going to move the needle for my life, my family, my company, whatever it may be? What am I going to do and how am I going to prepare for those? And then the execution is getting after it and doing it. So I might spend 5 to 8 minutes every morning writing and thinking about my day. Some days it might be 10 or 15 minutes if I've got a busier day and I need to plan better. But I'm a huge believer that the more diligent you plan, the easier your execution is going to be. I mean, we do this in our business without even really thinking about it. Or the good, you know, the successful companies are master planners, right?
Yep. I totally agree with that. And the longer I play this great game of business, the longer I am finding myself doing my thinking time or my planning time to get my attitude right to then go out and execute. And if it takes you more time to do that, which it does, I spend typically from 5:30 to about 7 in the morning every day doing that, because it gets me excited and motivated to have the right attitude and be prepared.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a way to minimize that, because the longer you do it, you get worn out. So you have to have tools to help you refresh to do that. And that's what I'm excited to give this thing a try for whatever works for you, because you gotta map that out. But then you gotta figure out how you work with others too in the world of us in construction. You gotta be ready for whatever partners need your time, right?
Absolutely. And I guarantee you, if you go back and look at the projects that were the most successful for you in Mountain View here, you spent more time up front planning that project. You worked with the architect to design the fine details so that when the project entered construction, the execution was easier, right?
I couldn't agree more. And the theme of this conversation and every one of these, when you said it, it boils down to relationships and people, right? And so the people that are thriving in the Art of Construction Master Facilitator, my window and door company, are the people that either I or a leader within or a partner of the team has really taken the time to get on the same page. That's not a check the box thing. So you kind of have to figure out your Pursuing Excellence planner together and mesh all those things to how does it. I always ask three questions. One of our core values with a commitment to excellence is one of our core values. And you just have to answer three questions. Is it good for me? Is it good for you? And is it good for the partner or the company? And when you're faced with a decision, like if you and I are going to work together on a project, is it good for me? Is it good for you? And is it good for the project? Well, there's a lot of conversation unpacking. The more conversation you have before you just say, let's do it, the better off you're going to be. And that's, if I'm understanding you right, that's what this tool will help us with.
Absolutely. And then the accountability piece, every day at the end of your day, this is one of the most important pieces to me, other than setting your day with the right attitude, diligently preparing your time, and then going out and relentlessly executing. It's the daily reflections. And this is what I was always missing was, at the end of the day, you're going to learn by recapping your day. And so, you know, I've got two prompts that say, today was successful because, and tonight I am grateful for. So you start your day with gratitude, you end your day with gratitude. And then I've got five questions that I believe can help lead to a fulfilling life. And that is, did I learn something today? Did I exercise today? Did I produce today? Did I communicate today? And did I influence today? And so it may be a little different for everybody, but those are the five things that I feel like should have been put into the planner as really good guidelines for living a fulfilled life and holding yourself accountable to doing the right activities every day.
So I'm a slow learner, and I always say seven times for the first time. So we're going to go through this thing one more time to get people excited. And one of the things I heard from you is we're really big on, we implemented a lot of the entrepreneur operating systems into our business. And we always make to-dos at the end, along every meeting, which is the whole EOS. It's an amazing structure on how to run a meeting. But I am tenacious, and my team will say, of done or not done on the to-dos. And it's just that grateful for the partnership of checking things off the box of the checklist manifesto or all these things coming together. So it looks to me like you've built this thing out into kind of a make you jump in wherever you are, instead of a lot of these first off when you see a planner, it's 2025.
Exactly.
And then we're starting this in January of 2026. You just kind of made this a template to where wherever you're at in your journey, you're kind of building out a monthly calendar, if I'm seeing this right.
It's a detriment to sales, but it helps the people that are using the product because you don't have, you're not forced. It's not going to go out of...
That's a key word you said, because that's, I think, right now, you know, I coach window dealers all over the country and have this great network of people. And right now, the manifest is the sales managers is getting all the grenades because it's about this accountability and leadership of a calendar year. But that's not how construction actually works. So it's this taking a step every day, but you better still map out kind of your yearly plan and then reverse engineer into your big goals to set up your daily rocks. And so you kind of, if I'm seeing this right, you're kind of setting up your big habit tracker below kind of a calendar and then these monthly deliverables within that, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of different tools that are very flexible for people to use. And you can use it how you see fit, but the goal was to create something that was flexible for people, but also had a solid enough foundation in the day-to-day prompts.
And then you just go into, here's your, I always say the riches and the niches are your secret sauce, is just this one-page thing that you're getting out, pen and a paper, and every day, and giving yourself some grace if you need to go out in the forest and shoot a deer or if you need to go to the Caribbean to get your attitude right. And then you pick back up here to say, you know, how do you run a marathon? You don't just go out and run a marathon. You have to set many things, right? So, like, my personal goal this year is to bike 2,000 miles. Last year, my goal was 1,500. I did 1,586 because I'm a goal-oriented.
That's awesome.
But I didn't just go bike 1,500 miles in one day. Shout out to my CFO, Gord Fair, who's a big bike rider, and he said his goal is to do a century ride every year. You could say the same thing, a century ride, 1,500. You don't just go do these things. You have to build up to those. We set the date with his wife and my wife to do that ride. Well, I was not going to get let down, so I started biking 3 times a week, and I didn't really look real close to the 1,500 miles. I just set it all up, but now this year I've reverse engineered to do 250s, a 75, and one real bike race to get kind of that 80-20 rule in this put together. Yeah. And then now, if I'm understanding right, now I can take to my daily affirmations of saying, I can't bike every day because I got to run a business. I got to be the best. My mission of being the best dad and friends and to my friends and family, tying all this stuff together for you. That's what you're putting together of giving yourself grace and others and saying, damn, I kicked ass today.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you are holding is that's the planner. We sell a separate workbook. It's a goal setting workbook. And so what I go through in that workbook is time management, understanding how you use your time well and how you waste time and what you can do to improve your time, how you can improve your attitude and the way in which you speak to yourself. Because I do believe that we operate in alignment with how we see ourselves in the world. And so it's a big, it's a workbook that is there to help you create a better self-image, to understand how to spend your time better and how to set those goals and then even break those goals down. So I even have an exercise in the workbook on my example I always use is if I wanted to save $12,000 this year, that's $1,000 a month. That's, it's 200 and something a week, right? And so you could break that down into a daily goal, and that's the activity level.
Right. And I love that. So I'm holding the deliverable after you've done the deep dive, right?
That's right.
And so I'm working with a team right now that, you know, part of them went through a full year with a full workshop with Sandler sales. And now they're trying to have others do it by just watch a video or just go right to the planner. Mm-hmm. I hate to tell you, it doesn't work that way. You got to do the workshop, mm-hmm. get bought into it, get your attitude right, prepare. And then, so you have to do the work, then you have to live the work.
And it's very much true that the more you put in, the more you're going to get out of it.
100%. Well, what an honor to have this conversation of, like, you know, kicking off a new year and thinking about the generation it took us to get us here. And I always say in construction, boy, some of the days can be long, but the years are short, right? And you have to build this tribe, and I'm honored to have you be part of this tribe. as we work to close this thing out, and we'll put ways to get in touch with us of you have free time budgeting tools. And if anybody really wants to dive into this and is looking for a way for goal setting and planning and wants to be part of this, reach out and we'll work out a program that works for us all. But the question, as we always ask, is this podcast is dedicated to connect the right builders and affiliates, and we don't say the word contract, we use the word builders, because we're the ones actually doing the work, and the right affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products, whether it's a digital app or a planner putting together. At the end of the day, it's all to the right handshake. So as we close this thing out, the question we always ask along that line, Sydney, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
Yeah, so I want to say a couple of things about the technology, and then I've got a question to kind of, I think it would be a fun exercise, Devin, to talk about what is the potential and what is the limit of technology in construction. But, you know, going back, you know, tools are have always been evolving. If you and I walked out to a job site today and we saw a guy standing there hand screwing screws into a, you know, a decking board, right? We would go, what is this guy doing? They have impact drivers, right? But I guarantee you, whenever the impact driver came out, the guys that were screwing by hand, they were probably very reluctant to take on the new tool. So what technology has afforded us over the years, over the decades, is it's really compressed efficiency and effort. And so we're able to get more done with less effort with tools. But one of the things that I don't believe that technology will ever do is replace the human-to-human interaction. Humans still have to create the technology. Humans still have to go out and work together to design and build all of these projects. So I don't think tools will do that, but rather it will continue to help improve decision-making, the efficiency on the job site, and how we build things. And so, you know, in the design world, we've been using modeling here recently over the last decade, especially in how to resolve conflicts ahead of time. And so BIM modeling, so we went from hand drafting, then we had AutoCAD, and now we're in BIM modeling, which is obviously phenomenal. But that's a conflict-based modeling. And so what I think that I'm most excited about from the architecture and construction standpoint, and really from a real estate perspective as well, is what is our outcome-based modeling going to look like, where in the future I can decide, I can build the model, and then whether I can decide if we're going to use a steel frame versus a heavy timber frame. And whenever I select that detail in the model, I'm going to get outcomes that are based on that decision from a sustainability aspect, from a cost of construction aspect, from an ROI aspect. So I'm really interested in how we can start to understand end results from the decision making up front. So the kind of brainstorming that I put in the notes here is, you know, do you think with technology in our industry, in this AEC industry, that one day a homeowner could go to a screen or on their computer and order a house with plans, and then they show up to a job site and that thing was built with no human intervention? Because I think that's kind of the we're using technology to build a lot of things. But are we going to get completely automated to where we remove people from the process?
Well, it's back to the master craftsman, and we've done hundreds of podcasts, and I appreciate you asking me back that question, because back when we had the paper Sears Roebuck catalog, you could do that, but it was a kit of parts, and now it's the all these evolutions of system building this kit of parts. But everybody wants this unicorn on their project, but it doesn't scale and it doesn't pencil and all the things that we talk about. You said in the AEC industry, I'd add O to that, of the operations of that's what we're the and so art of construction is really building this tribe of properly vertically integrating the right tools to do that. Because you nailed at the beginning, you said it, BIM becomes this clash detectant tool that becomes a conflict tool that I go back to podcasts like the digital octuplets, and that was the talking about you have to have the BIM model for the attorneys, the BIM model for the offsite builder, the BIM model for the MEPs, the BIM, and then they all clash, and then who actually gets thrown under the bus and who gets rewarded? That's the ugly part of this real world of the great game of business, of how much time and money that you could get lost before it actually ever physically gets built, and nobody wants to pay for the digital build. And now Shout out to the Construction Progress Coalition, who I'm working with them on. They're going to be having their summit here in Denver this year. And right now there's all these workshops going on about how do you manage through these big digital tools, you know, the Procores, the Bluebeams, the, you know, Revit and all those. You're putting in all this tribal knowledge, but now AI is, you're giving it to these models, right? So it's this weird paradigm shift of who really owns the data, that we're living that right in front of us. It's the same thing of when we went from what does www dot mean? Mm-hmm. Now we're in that part of you better vertically integrate this stuff. So that's why I'm a huge fan. And if any other design, build, developer, people want to be part of this network that we're building, that's what Art of Construction is building. People like you that have been a lifelong learner and figuring out to say, let me come in and add value, whether it's one step or the whole project. I think about the podcast we just released around AI with Humming Agent AI, and they're saying, start small with AI. Just have a virtual receptionist or things that you're struggling with, and then learn how to use these tools. But you can't learn, you can't automate a crappy process. It goes back to having that planner. So that's what I think you and I are talking about, of like the digital build meeting the physical build, of having those match. That's this holy grail when you jump into this thinking, but then you learn how much time it costs to do that and who's going to pay for it and then who's going to use that to get you.
Yeah.
That's where we're at in the real world. That's my take on the whole moving is an obvious thing of a roofer to go from an air gun to an airless thing on the roof, because it takes its safety and danger. But it's sometimes it's not that obvious, even though it should be, in things like how roof and walls meet each other.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because they're different trades. Like we've done trusses offsite forever, but the walls are this new, and now it's all these different methods coming out. Right. And so that's what we've dedicated when we say connecting technologies and offsite solutions to the handshake. That's what we're all working on. What's your take to that?
Yeah, so I would say that what I just took away from that is, even though we have better tools every year, we're figuring out new tools and we're introducing better ways to be more efficient on the job site. It still goes back to how do we use the tool and how do we work together to make sure the tools are getting us the better projects, right? And so another thing that I'm really excited about as far as just technology in the building materials world is in your trades, the windows and doors, right? So we're getting better better products that are more efficient. They're better. They're going to last, hopefully they last longer. But also look at our building envelopes. You know, look at the evolution of airtight buildings again. And so I feel like we're starting to implement technologies and new ways of doing things that could really get us back to the value that I talked about earlier. Like what are we seeking? Are we using technology to quickly assemble something that's just going to make us more money? Or are we using technology to help us do something that's going to add value to our clients and the community that we're working in?
Yeah, definitely a balance there, right? Well, what an honor to have you in the studio. Huge fans of everything you're doing. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We always leave our listening audience with one thing to our builders and affiliates listening. What is one thing you want to leave them with to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, so something that's consistent through almost every podcast that I've listened to of yours, Devin, is relationships, relationships, relationships. And I can't hammer that in anymore in my business as a young entrepreneur. That's what's keeping me growing right now. But what I wanted to offer something different is just a relentless pursuit of achieving results. And a lot of, like I said, I took over a project where the owner's been working with the team for over 2 years, and there's no approvals on the project. And so What I take a lot of pride in is getting results in projects, whether that's the assembling the team, whether that's getting the building permit, whether that's kicking off construction, whatever that is. I'm even introducing contractors to owners to help bridge that gap for new developers that don't have a deep relationship with contractors and haven't built a bunch of projects. So how can we get real results in our work? And that's what I'm really after is achieving results.
I love it. Sydney, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Devin, thank you so much for having me. And look, this has been you know, I guess about 10 years of our relationship now. And I remember when I first came in Mountain View Window and Door, and I told you whenever I walked in how much better it looked. And so it's really awesome to be in the studio again. It's really awesome to see the evolution of your business and your podcast here. And thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Crush it out there, Tribe.